Well, let me say a few words of introduction to our time, and then I'm going to invite Ihoma to come and lead us. If you are paying attention to the world around you, you know that Tuesday is sort of a big day. Electing a new president, that's kind of a big deal. And because electing a new president in our nation is such a big deal, we're devoting the teaching portion of our gathering today to praying together. But praying about political things in the context of churches can make some people feel tense. And especially for those of you who are newer to the church and who don't quite get our vibe, you thought you'd want to get away from churches that were talking about political things in the context of worship gatherings. Let me say a few words about our basic posture before we invite Ihoma to come forward. I believe the Christian posture with respect to political things is to be absolutely unique in the world. The uniqueness of that posture is captured really well by the words of the poet T.S. Eliot, who, in a poem written about Ash Wednesday, wrote, "Teach us, Lord, to care and not to care. Teach us, Lord, to care and not to care." There's a lot that could be said about that phrase, more than I can say in a short introduction. But let me just say this. Followers of Christ are to care what is going on beyond our own lives and beyond the walls of the church. We are to care about the soul and state of the nation. A word to those of you who are old, cynical Gen X souls. We are to resist cynicism. We are to resist the idea that our voice doesn't make any difference in the world. We are to embrace the idea that our voice, especially our voice on behalf of people who don't have a voice, really does matter. So, Lord, teach us to care. I think it's a prayer to say, Lord, teach us how to care about the world that we're handing on to the next generation, how much debt we're handing on to the next generation, the state of the creation that we're handing on to the next generation. Christians of all people ought to be on an increasing journey of caring about more people, especially people who are vulnerable, people who feel left behind by the system that we live in, people who are fleeing violence from dangerous places in the world. We are to care more and more and more about the causes of justice and righteousness. And one of the practical ways we do that is through voting as thoughtfully as we can. We are to care. And T.S. Eliot says that we are to ask God to teach us how to not care, which I think it is to say that we are to resist idolatry in all its forms. That if we understand what it means to call Christ Lord, we will not be lured into believing that any political party on the left or the right can bring about the kingdom for which all our hearts long most deeply. We pray, teach us, Lord, not to care, because followers of Christ who understand what it means to call Christ Lord know that there is a higher vision and a higher dream that includes the things that we are voting on, yes, and goes beyond those things. And even if our candidate doesn't win in this election, we will be crystal clear about what our vocation is as people called to be salt and light in the world. Teach us, Lord, to care and not to care. Perhaps the best way to bring these disparate thoughts into one expression is to pray together. And that's what Ihoma is going to lead us in today. You'll be gathered in groups throughout most of the morning. There'll be an opportunity to pray out loud. Of course, not everyone is forced to participate, and that's especially true for you if you don't identify yourself as a follower of Jesus. But we all know that all risk comes from getting out of our comfort zone. And I know of no better guide to lead us out of our comfort zone than my friend Ihoma Umez Aranini. So let's give a warm round of applause and welcome her.
Thank you. I just want to note, if you didn't receive these two handouts on your way in, I would invite you to get it. You'll be using that today. So starting in the summer, Compassion and Justice Ministries has been hosting this election prayer night, the first Tuesday of every month. And as I was thinking of what I wanted to share with you, I want you to experience this morning something of what you might have experienced if you came to one of those election prayer nights. So we're going to go through some familiar themes. And I tried to distill it into this little graphic of what it means to have Christ-centered civic engagement, to extrapolate to a large level. So if you came on a Tuesday night, you would know that we are always rooted in the Word. We start by being grounded in the Word. It makes sense. The Word is our strong foundation of our faith. It offers wisdom for every circumstance of life. And it's one of the main ways that God molds and shapes our hearts, makes us more like Jesus. And while there are a million ways that one can engage and be rooted in the Word, this morning I want us to engage in one of my favorite, which is Lectio Divina. It is a Latin word that means divine reading or holy reading. And to my understanding, it's a way of listening to the Word, engaging Scripture through the hearing of it being read. In Christian history, it really was popular in a time when most people who came to church could not read. So it was a practice of deeply listening to the Word, holding on to the word or phrase that the Spirit of God was speaking that day, holding on through it throughout the week, meditating on it, allowing it to shape your heart and your life. Now, often people use the word as a weapon. People memorize the scripture verses that makes the point that they want to make, or it lets them win whatever argument, or they might wield it as a club to hit people over the head with. Lectio Divina is very different from that. This method of scripture engagement is a quiet method. It's a gentle method. It's a slow method. It allows scripture to touch our hearts. It allows us to engage the living word. What is the word that God is speaking to your circumstance, to your life today, and to be able to hear that in community? So we're going to engage with that this morning. You often hear the word three times. So I've asked some of my friends to read the word for us today, and it's also in that little paper that I highlighted if you wanted to follow along. After each reading, we're going to take a moment to pause, a moment of silence, and I invite you in that silence to ask a question. So after the first reading, what word or phrase stands out to you? Is God highlighting for you? And after the subsequent readings, to ask Christ, what invitation is God extending to you today from this scripture passage? Feel free to write your responses on the paper there. There's some space for that. But I invite you now to get in a comfortable posture, to let your feet be grounded as we hear our first reading.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff, that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
I invite you to reflect. What word or phrase is God highlighting to you? We'll take a minute or so.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
I invite you to reflect for a moment. What invitation is God extending to you through this scripture? I wanted to call us to another way of engaging in scripture. In our Tuesday prayer for the election, we are guided and we learn from Christians in the past who have prayed prayers that we follow in. So our next engagement in the word is through a freedom song. So freedom singing has been one of the ways that Christians, particularly during the civil rights era, stayed rooted in the word. These are some pictures of some freedom singers. When the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, came to Greenwood, Mississippi, SNCC's first voter registration project in the Mississippi Delta, one of the first things they taught the local people were freedom songs. These are songs that are borrowed from the traditional church songs, and they help thaw the fear that people had towards being involved in the civil rights movement. They serve to bring people together and to hold them together. And these are songs rooted in scripture. They encourage people to participate and live out the scriptures in their lives. Freedom singing, unlike professional or performance-based singing, is congregational, which means that, like you sing in church, everyone joins together, people clapping along and singing and swaying. It's a way of expressing the truth that you sing about in scripture. Freedom in the face of oppression, courage in the face of danger. The song that we're gonna sing today is called We Shall Not Be Moved. And note that the lyrics are taken from our scripture this morning. So feel free to stand with us, to engage your body as we sing and clap and sway as the Spirit leads. So would you stand as we sing this song?
Let's sing the chorus together. We shall not be moved.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree. It's planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
Try that again. We shall not.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
The union is behind us.
The union is behind us. We shall not. Planted by the water, we shall not be moved.
We shall not be moved.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water.
Fighting for our freedom.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved.
We shall not be moved.
We
fighting for our children.
Fighting for our children, we shall not be moved. Fighting for our children, we shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water.
Delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Amen. Let's sing Black and White together.
Black and white together, we shall not be moved.
Black and white together,
we shall not be moved.
Like a tree
that's planted by the water.
We're going to continue in our Christ-centered civic engagement. I wanted to highlight for us this next one, Seeking the Mission of God, Missio Dei, via the Modus Dei. So Mission of God, Missio Dei, or the Sending of God is often how those Latin words are translated. It's a way of answering the question, what is God doing in the world? Throughout the centuries, Christ followers have come to understand that God is on mission and sends his people on mission. There is a purpose for the church and for followers of Christ. There is a calling, there is a task. Now, and if we were to answer that question, what is the mission of God? You'll get as many answers as people asking the question. Some point to the Genesis story. They say that God's mission is to call a people to himself, to bless them, to be a blessing to all nations. Others say it is to declare and to bring about the kingdom of God, the reign of God, marked by beauty, reconciliation, wholeness, shalom. All of these answers are correct. I want you to consider what you would say is the mission of God, but also to consider Modus Dei. I've translated it as the method or the way of God. In addition to sending his followers on mission, inviting them to the work that Jesus was already doing, he was often teaching them the way that they should go about it. Jesus taught his disciples, and through the scriptures and by the Holy Spirit, continues to teach us today about how we go about answering his call. There's a famous argument that arose among his followers about power, which forms sort of a helpful teaching point. James and John asked him to sit on his left and right when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus corrected them, saying, "Power in the kingdom is not like what you think. It doesn't work the same way that it works in the world. The greatest is not the one who lords power over others, but the one that is servant to all. The way of the kingdom, things are reversed. The last shall be first. The greatest shall be the least and the servant of all." And it's easy in the midst of elections, in the midst of politics, as we go about civic engagement, to lose sight of these two things, to view them as separate. That the ends, the mission of God, they matter, and the means also matter. The method or the way of God is important. I like the way that Oshita Moore brings these two together. This is a quote from a letter that she's written on kingdom ethics. She says, "It may be common for those in the world to have their highest sense of identity in their political party or nation. For Christians, however, our primary identity is as citizens of the kingdom of God. That is beautifully represented by all nations, cultures, and ethnicities. America is not a Christian nation. The kingdom of God is the only reality that's wholly Christ-centered." Amen. I came across a number of years ago this graphic by a Christian group called PAX, which I think highlights the opportunities and pitfalls of election season. It challenges us, and I think along with Oshita, along with the Spirit of God, to seek the mission of God, Missio Dei, via the modus Dei, the methods of God, as we engage civically with our votes. So I want to highlight here some of the categories that are mentioned. Take a moment to look at them. Each row has a category and a way that I think we're tempted to have our politics shaped by the world's methods, the world's means and mission around power, rather than the Matthew 6:33 call to seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. It asks, are we loyal to party or Jesus Christ? Are we loyal to the United States or humanity, all who bear God's image? Does your vote, your civic engagement, protect your power or provide flourishing for all? Does your vote preserve your comfort? Or does it preserve the image of God in all? Is it a vote out of fear? Or is it a vote out of love? These are not easy questions to answer, but my urging for us as a congregation, as we engage civically, is to remember the mission of God and the way of God. I wanted to leave some space for us to reflect on this. So again, please take out your little paper. There's a question here about the mission of God and modus Dei. But if you find this question to be really big, because it is, feel free to just answer, which of these contrasts do you find most challenging or do you find most intriguing as you engage in this season? So I'm going to invite you to take a moment to reflect. You can write it down, and then I'll call us to when we can turn in groups and share. Our final stop on our journey is to be prayerful always. And it perhaps comes as no surprise that Christ-centered civic engagement requires prayerfulness. Christ is the one that taught us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Christ would often steal away to a lonely place to pray early in the morning. He taught his disciples that although they were given supernatural power to heal and bring about his shalom, some healings required prayer and fasting. Christ would pray to seek direction. He would pray for his enemies on the cross. He would pray for unity of all his followers, all his believers. Christ prayed all the time. And so we want to engage this as key to our civic engagement. A number of years ago, when I worked in campus ministry, my favorite seminar to teach at the end of the year, our fellowship's chapter camp, was the prayer seminar. And I would start the week sharing some quotes about prayer and making space for my students to react to them, identifying what they resonated with or had questions about. And my invitation was that they were going to meet God in some of these ways throughout the week. So here are some of the prayer quotes that got the strongest reactions. If Christians spent as much time praying as they do grumbling, they would soon have nothing to grumble about. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. Prayer does not change God, but changes she who prays. The most important thing in any prayer is not what we say to God, but what God says to us. Prayer is dangerous business. Results do come. Praying is the joining of realities, making a live connection between the place we find ourselves and the God who is finding us. I wonder if there's one of these that speaks to you this morning, and if you will allow that message from these prayer quotes to guide us as we turn to praying for our elections. So I have on your paper, it may be really small, so I'm going to put it large here, some suggestions on how we can pray, some prayer points, if you will. And we're going to take in a minute just some time to actually write out a prayer. One suggestion is to pray for people, to pray for wisdom and integrity, discernment for all voters, to pray for protection and peace for all voters, volunteers, election administrators, to pray like Jesus did for unity and peace, against division and for unity among all America's residents, to pray for patience, forbearance, respect among those with differing opinions. You can pray for the nation's future, for integrity, renewal, the improving of America's republic, its courts and its laws. Pray for the nation to prosper, for leaders to seek God's guidance in their decisions. So these are some suggestions. I also have here a few prayers that people who have been rooted in Scripture have written. This one is based on Proverbs 1:3. Most High God, we look to you to ensure fairness and justice in the balloting procedures. As your people vote this fall, may the election be just and equitable, revealing the truth with clarity and power. This one is Amos 6:1. O God, you're actively involved in every part of your creation at every moment. Grant to all people in the U.S. a willingness to get involved in the upcoming elections, resisting complacency, suspicion, and passivity. Let us all know the value of our individual and collective vote, and let us exercise our right with diligence and faith. And this one's based on Psalm 33:1. O God, your plans are firm, faithful, and forever. The purposes of your heart prevail through all generations. Let your mighty, perfect will be done in the elections this fall. So there are a lot of examples. I'm going to give you a minute to write your own prayer, and then my invitation is to gather in those groups of 3 and 4 and pray these prayers that you've written aloud. So I'll give you a minute, and then I'll call you to turn in your groups. Let me pray over us to close our time this morning. This is a prayer that's based on Psalm 32:7 and Isaiah 54:17. Most High God, we look to you for protection and safekeeping, especially during these 2 days that are leading up to the elections. Keep leaders, voters, and media safe from every kind of hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, deliver us from any evil plots that have been arranged. Let no weapon that is formed against your people prosper. And Lord, continue to guide us in your spirit and lead us into your way everlasting, we pray. Amen. Can y'all give yourselves a round of applause? Great job engaging in this season.